The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so again, a really warm welcome, everybody. What a delight it is to see you all and to practice together. And today I wanted to talk a little bit about this idea of how so often we kind of feel disconnected from not only ourselves, but from our experience. Maybe there's a way in which we're, I don't know, maybe we use this word sleepwalking or just kind of surfing along the top, not really connecting, not really completely experiencing. Many reasons why this might be so, but it's whenever something that arises or we're having some experience, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, it's really easy to do to talk ourselves out of what we feel in some kind of way. Oh, I shouldn't do that. Or, oh, this is going to end soon. So we kind of discount it. Or if it's unpleasant, we might kind of like discount what we're feeling, like the sadness or this anger or loneliness or anxiety, whatever it might be, like just disconnect from ourselves or talk ourselves out. Oh, you'll feel better tomorrow. And it's an interesting thing, right? Is there a way that we can be present for our lives without letting our emotions kind of run the show? Because, right, our emotions are changing and always fluid, and we don't want to be pushed around by them, and we don't want to be disconnected from them. And so often we think that that way to not be pushed around from them is just wish that we didn't have emotions. I know this certainly was my case. Some of you may know that I'm trained as a scientist. And when I was in graduate school, spending these years in the laboratory, you know, I don't want to say I was a mad scientist, but maybe I was doing my thing with little test tubes and this kind of stuff. But part of the reason when I look back that I went into science is I felt I do have a love. I have a real love for biochemistry. I absolutely do. But I had this feeling that I wanted to make it, you know, the focus of my life, my professional life. Probably because there weren't emotions there. I felt like I had been pushed around by emotions, or I felt like if I could just learn to be a little bit more scientific in the way that I experience life, deal with life, then somehow it would be better. Yeah, but it turns out that is not the way to happiness. That is not the way to well-being, to try to like excise portions of ourselves off our emotional life. No. So there's a way in which if we have this way that we've been showing up for ourselves, that when there's some emotions and that arise, whether they're pleasant or unpleasant, if our habit is to abandon ourselves or to abandon how we feel or to disconnect some way, it's very common, then we have to like slowly, maybe course correct is an expression we might use, then just slowly say no to be in touch with, to experience one's emotional life is the way to have some happiness and well-being, even if it is uncomfortable, even if it is unfamiliar. And part of loving kindness practice, part of any meditation practice, probably mindfulness and loving kindness, is a way in which we can create the conditions in which we might feel a little bit more settled, a little bit more steady, so that it feels okay to connect with how we're feeling. So we're helping to create the conditions in which it becomes, maybe feels safe enough, or we feel steady enough that we can connect to how we're feeling. And it doesn't mean that we have to jump right in and get in right into the heart of our sadness or anger or loneliness or anxiety, whatever it might be. Usually that's not helpful to jump right into the center, but is there a way in which we can acknowledge and experience what's happening without abandoning ourselves, or not disconnecting from the experience, but also not collapsing into it? And I would say that loving kindness practice is a way in which it provides a certain steadiness and increases our capacity to be with our emotional lives. And it also carries with it this sense that we don't have to fix everything. We don't have to jump right in there and make it different. We don't have to insist that things be otherwise. So just pointing to this idea of connecting to ourselves, our experience, our inner life. Sometimes we might be disconnecting because it's easier, or it's a habit, or it feels like we can't connect with what's difficult. You don't have to force yourself. You don't have to do what feels like grand gestures. Instead, just with some loving kindness practice, kind of like creates the environment in which connecting to ourselves might just naturally happen. And maybe it's just for a short while, and that's okay. Without insisting that things be different. And then I'll say this one more time, that I don't want to suggest that we should jump into the biggest difficulty and right in the center of it. There can be some wisdom why we often are kind of disconnecting or just staying on the periphery. We don't want to get into overwhelm, because then we don't have access to the wisdom and bigger picture. So we're just creating the conditions in which there might just be a touching into an acknowledgement. Oh yeah, there's sadness. Oh yeah, there's that loneliness. And then maybe we come back to, maybe it's a little bit of compassion. May this suffering end. May peace arise, or just come back to whatever the next phrase is, or something like this. And it might feel like, but wait, aren't we supposed to do something or fix it? Or, you know, we want to do that, these types of things, that's natural. But this is a way in which meeting it with a warm-heartedness is a way in which it allows it to unfold differently than if we were to be dismissive or disconnected. So that was a lot of words here in the beginning, but I just wanted to talk about this connecting to ourselves in a way that's helpful, and how loving kindness practice helps create the conditions that we can connect to ourselves without falling into overwhelm and without thinking that we have to fix everything, but just touching into. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do a little bit of meditation practice. So taking an alert posture. And just feeling into, what does it feel like to be present this moment? How does it feel in the body? Just generally, does the body have a lot of energy, low energy, or maybe the energy is just right? Is there a sense of, in general, just being out of sorts, or a sense of well-being? Maybe you're not even sure. Maybe you're just kind of neutral. However it is, can we just notice and allow it to be that way? And then resting the attention on the sensations of breathing. Feeling the stretching and the ending of the stretch. Maybe feeling the different temperature of air that goes in and out of the nose as we breathe. It wouldn't be surprising if the mind wandered. Chances are you've been thinking and the mind's been wandering in some way all day. So when you notice that the sensations of breathing are no longer with the mind, the attention is landed on, and just very simply, gently begin again. We don't have to make a story out of it. We don't have to make it be a problem. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy, uncomplicated, straightforward to have warm feelings for, to care about. Some people like to do their furry family members. Some people use a coach, mentor, teacher, somebody that has really helped them touch their lives. Some people have individuals in their life that they have an uncomplicated, loving relationship with. And bring this lovable being to mind, even if they are imaginary kittens, puppies, babies. Sometimes I start with kittens. I don't know, there's something about kittens that kind of melts my heart whenever I bring them to mind. And the good news, the internet is filled with all these kittens. So connecting with the lovable being, and allow yourself to feel if there's any sense of delight or openness or warmth, however you might describe it. and to help us stay connected to this warm-heartedness, or our intention for warm-heartedness, because it's not always there. Can say these phrases while keeping the lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. and then to expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. Either the felt experience of what it feels like to be meditating at this moment right now, or maybe a visual image of yourself. Some people like to do an image when they were children. Whatever allows you to connect the sense of yourself. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can check in with the body and see if there's any feeling of warmth or openness or spaciousness, ease, even if it's just a portion of your experience, not the dominant experience. And can you allow that to be a support, maybe even like a fountain of warm-heartedness, a fuel for care, respect, love, kindness. Our hearts, minds, bodies are so connected. We can use all of them to support one another. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to expand our loving kindness to somebody we don't know. Somebody we don't have a relationship with. Might be somebody on this Zoom call. Somebody you see in the neighborhood occasionally. As best you can, bringing them to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. For some people, for a lot of people, doing loving kindness for somebody they don't know takes a little bit more effort. You feel like it's just a little more effort than you'd like or you're able right now. No problem. You can do loving kindness for yourself or for the lovable being. Absolutely no reason why we have to feel like we're hitting our head against the wall. This is a practice to soften and open. No reason to make it difficult. In a relaxed, easy way, sending well wishes. And in the last part of this meditation, just bringing awareness back to the felt experience. What is it like right now? In the body, in the mind, in the heart. Sometimes when I turn off the bell, it feels like, oh, it's so like artificial, right? Because if we were all in the room together, we would just, all of us would hear the bell just quieter, go, just get quieter and quieter. I just want to touch back into a little bit about what I started saying at the beginning is part of meditation practice and certainly loving kindness practice is creating the conditions in which we feel like we can connect to what's happening, or maybe even can recognize how we have been feeling disconnected. And not that we have to fix everything, not that we have to make it be a particular way, but I like this idea of just creating the conditions. So connection can happen if it feels like it's the right time or we have the resources available to us to be with what's happening. As opposed to this idea of what we should do or shouldn't do or make this happen, make that go away, this type of thing. So now I'd like to put you into some small groups where you'll have an opportunity to talk about this and share and kind of discuss this idea of getting connected to our experience. And a loving kindness practice can be a great way to really support that experience. So you'll be in groups of three or four, and it's going to be helpful just to say one thing about this idea and then let it go to the next person, and then they say one thing, and then let it go to the next person, and they say one thing. So without everybody feeling like you have to inform everybody, you don't have to educate others, you don't have to let them know, and certainly don't give advice, right? Who wants to receive advice? Not too many of us, right, in this setting. Instead, we just practice some loving kindness. So this is a way in which to express loving kindness, is to show up for each other, to make the space in which people, the thing that they're sharing, they feel like they're seen and heard. So if it's helpful to decide like who's going to go first, you can go in alphabetical order. Okay, here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to add about this discussion that you had in the small group or maybe about the meditation that we did? Yes, Neil.
Hi, Diana. So we were talking about the fact that, you know, we seem to see our moods changing a lot. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad. Sometimes, you know, it happens in rapid succession. And right, assuming any, you know, psychological disorders, which none of us are like admitting to at least, right? You know, just sort of seems, you know, that, you know, the more you meditate, the more you see this. You know, I'm wondering if you could expand on this. I don't know. Insight brilliance.
What was the thing you said?
I said try to be brilliant, but just try to be somewhat clever. I don't want to put too much pressure on you.
Thank you. I think that's fantastic. Yeah, I think what you're pointing out is fantastic, Neil, actually, because this is how it is, right? An emotion arises and then it passes away, and then another one arises and then passes away, and then another one comes and passes away. This is the human experience. But often we kind of are dismissive or not paying attention to some of them and paying extra attention to others because we have meanings associated with it. We were identified with it. I'm a person who's happy. I'm a person who is sad. So we tend to, you know, notice those things that support any idea that we have about ourselves. But A, I think it's fun to notice that there is this kind of rapid succession that doesn't last forever, even though we might have stories about, I'm a person who always feels X, Y, or Z. And then I had something that was brilliant, and it just slipped my mind. There's something I wanted to say. Oh, yeah, here it is. Something that happens more and more with practice is that whatever the emotion might be, an uncomfortable one, a comfortable one, the problemness of it drains away, goes away. It's like, oh, here's real sadness. Wow, sadness feels like this. I have this pressure behind my eyes. Maybe there's some tears, a lump in my throat. It's just sadness. It doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to be anything at all. It's just sadness. And when that happens, when we're able to do that, to just allow it to be there, it'll just arise and pass away, just like everything else. So our capacity to do this allows the problemness, I like this word, kind of problemness, to fade away. Is this helpful, Neil?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, well, here we are at the top of the hour. I guess now here we are 1 minute past already. So with the heart full of appreciation for your practice, this is how, in my view, how the world becomes a greater, better place, right? If there's people who are connected to themselves and practicing with some well-wishing. So if you'd like to unmute, we can all say goodbye in an unorganized, noisy way. So bye-bye, and thank you.
Bye-bye, thank you.
Thank you, Diana.
Night, Amy.
Fantastic topic.
Night, Michael.
Night, thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Johnny.
See you again.
Thank you, Johnny.
Bye.
Bye, Neil. It's very sweet. Good night.